Over the past 75 years, more than 10,000 chemicals have entered our food supply, but the EU allows just 300 additives. At Thrive Market, we prioritize quality, banning over 1,000 ingredients found in conventional grocery stores. Our Healthy Swap scanner helps you find better versions of your pantry essentials without the junk, dyes, or fillers, and everything is delivered right to your doorstep. So shop at a grocery store that actually cares about your health at thrivemarket.com/get started for 30% off your first order and a free $60 gift.
Within football, we have silos.
We even talk about hiring the man first, the coach second. I think he is an unbelievable person.
Every single person in this locker room right now is playing professional football.
Aaron get COVID, and the week they're like, yeah, you starting. And I'm like, okay, let's do it.
Just here to tell you, Pack is back.
What's up, guys? This is Jeff Giannis.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Poor Man's Packers Podcast, from one Packers podcast in the state of our minds. I am Spencer, joining this week with Todd. Todd.
Hello.
And the Green Bay Packers season is sadly over. It's done. It's complete.
Who could have predicted this?
No one could have seen this coming. Nobody, unfortunately, after what were we? Do we have 11 wins? Is that what it was?
11, yep. 11-6.
Packers lose 10-22. That was not a score got me. There was one this weekend, but still a very odd score to see. Not great. I guess I kind of feel a little bit better. Like, of all the playoff losses, I almost felt worse about the Bears game, maybe just because after losing to the Bears, it's like, oh, maybe we aren't that good. But Todd, I mean, what a season, man. How did you feel after the game?
About the season or about just the Packers just losing to the Eagles in the playoffs?
Just however you're feeling, man.
How did I feel after the game? That's a good question. I think I felt like, because I knew we were going to lose, obviously, you know, halfway through the game. Not a big deal.
Shut up.
And then, but I think after the game,
game in like almost, the fourth quarter.
Can I tell you how I felt?
I'm really good at interrupting.
I'm going to say relieved that I didn't have to like worry about like, I just was like, oh, like now
how
we can be positive
you?
Again. Now we can be like, hey, we have the draft, which as everyone knows is where this year?
Green Bay. Thank you, Mark Murphy. Our Lord and Savior.
Exciting. Do you think that they will bring in cruise ships? I heard that was an idea at one point. Anyways, we can keep moving. Yeah. I don't know. I relieved is the bad word. I mean, I was obviously disappointed. There was, at the very beginning of the game, about 3 seconds in, I was still positive. Fourth second, I was no longer positive. But for 3 seconds, I was happy-go-lucky.
That first play, kickoff, it was literally, like, Keyshawn gets hit, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Keyshawn might be hurt. Like, he got walloped. He got hit right in the head. I was like, oh, man. And then it was, oh, the ball's loose. I'm like, The Eagle. Immediately when you see two Eagles guys pointing the other direction, you're like, please, God, don't say this is over before it even starts. And then, yeah. Did you hear what he said after 2-1? I mean, I kind of like the way we lost because, one, I get to blame the refs all offseason. It's just like the Vikings game when we lost, you know, if it wasn't for that terrible calling us offsides when we weren't, completely different game. This game, we spotted them 7 points off the get-go. McManus misses that one field goal, too. It's like, what are you doing, bud? But everything after that, it's all garbage. Plus, on top of that, we got so hurt. It's like, well, I don't think we would have had much of a chance next week anyways, so I can leave the season not like happy, but it's one of those where it's like, it's tough to feel like we're really missing out on anything that we earned this year.
I think that like that's part of the reason why I said like relieved, because it was like I just didn't feel like this team was going far at all. Like, yeah, we could have beat the Eagles, it was not out of the question, but to string together 4 wins, that team Right. There just wasn't going to happen, unfortunately. Like, I feel bad being a downer, but like, this is the first time in a lot with last year being the exception to what I'm about to say, but like, it's the first year in a long time where I'm like, we just don't really have a chance to string together. I always felt, even, and this was probably delusion in my mind, but like, I always felt like we had a chance with Rodgers no matter what, because there's so many times where like, he, like the relaxed thing, which was like, I'm not saying that what he said was cool or anything, but like, it worked after he said it.
Like, it was cool. That was cool. Let's not change.
I don't know.
He's done a lot of uncool things.
What was the other thing
he said?
There was the relax, and then there was run the table. Run the table, I think, was cooler than relax.
I think run the table was overblown. Relax was cool because we were in like a 3 or 4 game losing streak to start the season, and it was when Rodgers had the radio show, and Willie was like, What's your message for the fans right now? And he's just like, R-E-A-L-A-X, relax. And then we went on that tear. The I think we can run the table was overblown because he said similar things in the past as well. But it was that where literally that season, if we beat the Eagles, we had the chance to go on a run, and they did, and it worked. But, I mean, come on.
Point being, with Rodgers, I always felt like you could always just go on a run. Like, it was never out of the question. The year we won the Super Bowl, that team didn't look good in the regular season, right? I mean, they didn't look horrible, but they didn't look great. And then it's like, oh, and we won the Super Bowl. And it's like, from there on out, it was always like, we could do anything. Where it's like, we're not there yet with Jordan. I'm not saying we won't get there in the future. But like, it's just like, when you have a QB that's a Hall of Fame quarterback, like, you can win any game. It doesn't really matter who's around him.
True.
We're not there yet.
I guess, I don't know. We'll get into it. You almost feel better about, this isn't true, but you almost feel better about like what Jordan Love was last year. Cause like the Saints game, the comeback, I mean, just the way he played against Detroit, but this year was just a little bit different, whatever.
Well, it sucks to see the regression from, I think it's a regression from the midpoint in the year to the last half of the year. It was just like, it felt like a regression to me, in my opinion. Hey, less picks. QBR was probably better, but...
What did I say 3 weeks ago about Toyotathon? And you laughed at me? You fucking laughed at me.
I have no idea what you said about Toyotathon.
I was like, we talked about it a little bit, and I was like, I wish it didn't happen. And you laughed, and you were like, why? And I'm like, because now the adults know about it, and Jordan's probably not going to live up to it, of course. Last 3 games, not as good, whatever, which way, either, whatever. This episode, we're going to talk about the game. Offense, defense wasn't great. We're going to talk a little bit about the offseason stuff. The shuffling of the coaching staff, perhaps. Jeff Hafley getting some interviews, it sounds like. He has the one with the Jets, and there's some other ones that are probably going to happen. The look at the roster going into the offseason. We'll look at the NFC North a little bit, too. We'll just see what happens. We're going to talk about the Packers. Everyone loves that, right? Right?
That's what we're here for.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. Getting into the game. And, I mean, we touched on it a bit there, but such a terrible, terrible start. I knew we were fucked from the get-go because of that saxophone solo. The saxophone solo to start.
Didn't I say that?
I texted. I think I was going to say the same thing because I tweeted it out
talking.
As well.
You keep talking. I'm going to look at our conversation. I think I'm getting credit for this one.
Because I forgot the name of it, but I heard it was something sax. And I'm like, I've never heard of this artist. And then I hear saxophone playing, and I'm like, oh no, we are absolutely fucked. And yeah, after that, we kind of really didn't look back after that. I guess starting things off, I mean, you hinted at it. Did the team as a whole, do you think, took a step back this season?
As a whole?
Yeah. Do you feel better about the Packers
definitely
now
the
than
defense
you did after
did not,
the year last year?
I literally think the passing game is the only thing that took a step back. I think every other aspect... Okay. Special. We're not talking about special teams, are we? That also took a step
Jesus
back.
Jesus Christ, no.
Okay. If we're not talking about special teams, offense and defense, the only thing that took a step back, in my opinion, and I'm just like, I'm trying to think if this is wrong, is the passing game. That's the only thing that took a step back. The running game is better. I think that's hands down. The defense in all aspects is better. With less, I would say less.
No.
Less talent on the. No, that's not true at all.
Jesus,
there is more
Jesus
talent.
Christ. The back end?
No, I just was thinking corner. Well, corner was the... I didn't say it. I caught myself. Less talented at corner. Was Jair being out is, I guess, really the thing. And the pass rush was... I guess pass rush was worse this year than it was last year. Pass rush, and passing game on offense. Those two took a step back. But in general, I think the team got better, but at a really important aspect, passing game and pass rush, we didn't get better. We got worse. Arguably the two most important things we regressed on. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. I mean, if you could pick one thing for your team to be good at, it would be passing the ball. Defense in general, I'm fine. I'm balls back with this performance and this team overall. Because even we can bitch about the pass rusher or whatever, but I don't think that was had much of an effect on Sunday's game. So I'm like, whatever, man. Looking at the game here, we'll get into it. Jordan Love, you know, not as I'm gonna say it, not his best game. Finished 20 out of 33. 212 yards, which is actually more than I would have thought. Zero touchdowns, three picks, was sacked twice. Just not what you want out of your QB1. I mean, the three picks, he had the deep ball to Slay, which was very good, that he tried to give to Wicks. Yep. The one to Bond over the middle of the linebacker, one of the worst throws he's had over there. It's something
very bad.
We've brought it up, but again, when Rodgers left, everyone was like, oh, we get to finally throw over the middle. Well, this is what happens when you throw over the middle. And then he had the deep prayer end zone toss, which probably should have been a PI, but...
Totally should have been a PI. He was... Zach Bond tackled Bo Melton. And the ref was just like, this game's over. Which, like, I don't hate it because the game was over, but, like, also, when they're calling, like, the holding by the wide receiver on the opposite side of the field of a toss, the right side of the field and a toss left, I'm like, what are we doing here? And then we'll call that. I don't know.
Yeah, I suppose. I don't know. I mean, for how bad it was, at one point in the fourth quarter, it was a 6-point game. And when that happened, yeah. I'm like, we're going to win this game. I know everyone now is like, oh, shit, we didn't have a chance. You know, you just think of the game in general and how we felt after. But it was like, there was that moment in time where we had a chance. I mean, again, coming out of that game, does anyone feel good about that Eagles team? Do you think Eagles fans feel good? Hell no. It was the first drive
on offense. Jalen Trubisky at quarterback?
No. Did you see how many play action plays we ran on Sunday?
I have no idea.
Guess.
Zero?
Close. Three. Three Perfect. Total play action plays.
Why would you, with Josh Jacobs back there, why would you run play action?
Yeah. Everyone expects you're just going to throw the ball all day with Jordan Love. Josh Jacobs hasn't had a good year at all. But yeah, it's LaFleur said Monday, which was very interesting because it's something that I've complained about previous years, not so much this year, was running it out of the shotgun, specifically with A.J. Dillon, because he was so fucking bad at it, because he was so big, he couldn't get rolling. LaFleur claimed after the game that some of their most successful plays were running it out of the shotgun and play action out of the shotgun, which I found very interesting. But there was multiple times during the game where it was like third and short, and we're in shotgun, and I'm like, I don't feel good about this, but we did run it a couple times to convert. So one of those things on paper, I'm like, I don't like it, but on Sunday it did work out. I don't know.
That doesn't feel true to me. It doesn't feel like our biggest plays. Is he saying that just some big plays? I don't know. That's a weird statement.
I never said big plays. I said successful plays. I think successful runs have came out of the shotgun for this offense. Apparently, I guess it's something probably Josh Jacobs.
So like if it's third and one, and we go out a shotgun and we hand the ball off, that's just, sure. And we get 2 yards, that's a successful run.
Right. That's why, like, A.J. Dillon in some stats last year, his success rate was so high because it would be, like, you know, third and twos. I don't know.
And he'd get 1.5.
Exactly. So they'd count as a successful play. But Jordan Love, I guess, how do you feel about him in general now going into the offseason?
So I think for a while, a couple of weeks, I've just been saying, like, I feel like Jordan Love needs to just sling the ball. But I'm getting to the point where I'm like, here's my worry. Part of me is like, I'm not worried about Jordan Love. I keep like thinking that. I've been thinking that for weeks. I'm like, he just needs to be let loose. He just needs to be let throw the ball. But here's the problem. You can't stop a gunslinger from throwing the ball. You couldn't stop Brett Favre from slinging the ball. So like, if you can be stopped from being a gunslinger, are you a gunslinger? Like, then you're not a gunslinger.
Like, I don't
nobody
know.
Nobody stops Jameis Wilson or Jameis Winston from slinging the ball. Nobody. You can't. Nobody stops Baker.
Jameis is dumb. Baker's cut from a different cloth. I mean, Jordan Love, I think we've seen more gunslinger out of Jordan Love than not, but that is...
But you can't, if you can take the gunslinger out of a gun, then they're not a gunslinger. If you can pull it away from them, like, to me, it's like, then are you one? That's my biggest worry.
I guess, but it hasn't been like the last half of the season was anti-gunslinger. It's really just been these last three or four games, because we were still talking about Toyota-thon, you know, a couple weeks ago. Like, he was still fine, but I do agree with your original point that I just want him to go back there and sling it, because that's how you figure this shit out. That's how you know if you have a quarterback or not. If you're handcuffing him and you're, you know... And there was some other stat, too, that he's had one of the lowest percentage of true dropback passes in the NFL. And he's like 15 touchdowns, 15 picks on those plays, too, which is not exactly the most positive thing to see. But like you said last week, which I love, I mean, it's so dumb, but it's, I want Jordan Love to leave games with four touchdowns and two picks. That's what I want.
Feel great.
That's what I want to hover around. And even if that doesn't happen every time and we have those stinker games, it's something that he can start working out. Because right now it's like, I don't know what he was working out in the passing game this past month. You know, they're just, we never got into that flow on that offense. And that's the one thing you need, is something you can always go back to in the passing game. And that just didn't really materialize.
I just really hope that in this offseason, when they go back and look at it, when the floor looks at it, and he's like, what did we do with Jordan? We turned him into vanilla custard, and he needs to be a banana split. Is that a good analogy?
One of the best we've ever heard.
All the flavors in a banana split. So like, you can't water the dude down. Like, that's just, it doesn't work for him. And I think the fans see it, but I think maybe like when you're stuck in it, like, I don't know, week to week to week, I think it's obvious, but I think if you're like looking too close to the details until you step back and look at it, that's my hope anyway, is that when the coaching staff steps back, they're like, man, we like trying to handcuff Jordan Love is not the way to do it. We got to let this guy go throw. Cause I would just feel better. Like, even if it's three picks, three touchdowns, I'm like, I don't know. Like, that almost feels better if that happens every once in a while than the two touchdowns, no picks, but it's like all we did was check the ball down and run it against a mediocre team. And I'm like, I don't feel like he's progressing in that scenario. He's not getting better.
Yeah, it's tough because it's like the shots he takes aren't really good. You know, the deep bombs he had this week were not great decisions.
But look at how many, like, for how many years has Josh Allen been in the league? Four? Is this fifth year maybe?
Josh Allen?
Yeah.
I'm going to guess this is year 7 or 8 for him.
Okay. Beginning of his career, he threw a lot of picks.
Yes.
He just like...
He hurdled Anthony Barr.
Yeah. But like, he made a lot of mistakes. And now like, then I think that pays off if you can like just let a guy be himself. At least you have the chance of it paying off. Where then he's like, he figures out what he can and can't do. But like, if you never let him go out and test the limits...
Right.
He'll never know what he can do.
100%. I think Jordan, or yeah, I think Matt LaFleur, I don't know what he did, but I think Jordan Love wasn't as confident the second half of the year. Like, after the bye week, like last year, it was that Thanksgiving game we always go back to, but all those different throws he had that were like, wow, that Jaden Reed one, remember when he split two defenders with the ball?
Yes.
He didn't make those types of attempts this year. I mean, it would, unless it's a deep ball and a double coverage, which happened a couple times, but he didn't really test those types of throws the second half of the year. And it's just, I don't know, hopefully they work it out this offseason, but we'll see. Of course, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the offensive coaching staff as well.
It's like, if you're going to be a good race car driver, you're going to put it into the wall a few times, right? You're going to learn how to push the limits, right?
You know, one of the greats, best of all time, he went into the wall.
Nope. Gonna bite.
Okay. Wideouts. Jaden Reed actually ended up as the top receiver, 4 receptions, 46 yards, the long of 20, which was such a beautiful play. Packers had two first and 20s in this game and converted both of them. One was the Jaden Reed catch and run, which was pretty awesome. The other one was the Emmanuel Wilson like screen pass, which was just beautiful to see.
Mm-hmm.
Dontayvion Wicks, another good game too. 2 for 39. Both of them were just huge first down pickups. One was a 3rd and 7. One was like a 3rd and 5, but nice, strong hands. And God, he was the only guy still alive at the end of the game. Poor Romeo. What did he finish with any catches? Yeah, he had 2 for 13. Obviously hit his head on the turf. And it sucked. This is dumb. It's one thing to get a concussion. It's another to get it when you hit your head on the turf and in that way. Because it didn't look that bad. But you know it was just the force that it came down with. And it's like, God, the gardening cap doesn't really have anything to protect you that way. But I don't know. Just...
It doesn't feel like it works. Like if that, I don't know. I'm sure it's better than nothing, but like at some point you reach the point of diminishing returns. And it's like if wearing that and like he didn't like hit super hard. I mean, guys hit the ground way harder. He just hit on the back of his head. And it was like, then it's like, I don't know what, I mean, he just was going to get a concussion regardless. The guardian cap didn't matter at all.
The other thing with Wicks too, which I forgot to bring up. I loved his PI, which eventually led to the field goal. We should have scored on it. But he finally, to have a wide receiver, I mean, I guess he could have done a little bit better on the pick, but MVS could never do it. Christian Watson, he was a little bit better at it this year. But milking it to get the PI, Wicks was awesome. It's like you either go for the ball full out or you start milking it. And he was like, I'm not going to get to this ball. I'm going to milk this for a PI. And it worked out. So didn't end up in a touchdown, but close enough. Well, not close enough. Malik Heath, your boy. Not a good game. There was a reason he wasn't playing that much.
But Malik isn't getting practice reps I have no idea, but that's what I'm going to say. He wasn't getting practice reps, so he wasn't prepared for those situations. Now, goal line fade. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you know how many catches he finished with?
I do. And it's less than one.
Yeah. 0 for 4 targets. I felt like such a loser watching that fourth down play. I'm watching the game. You know me. I'm watching the Packer game. See the ball in the air. Malik Heath. It's like, oop, he's open. Oop, he's got the ball in his hands. Oop, where are the feet? I saw the foot come down clearly out of bounds. And I just put my hands over my eyes.
Not a good feeling.
And I look up. And this game, when it's playoffs, I am a monster. So my fiance does not like football. She does not like football at all. So I'm in the living room watching the game. And I got my AirPods in, noise canceling on the TV. I got my Miller High Life. Never drink Miller, but I like High Life. I drink Wisconsin beer in the playoffs. But I stood more for this game than I have for games at like Lambeau. And I'm just in it the entire, McManus, when he missed that field goal, I just walked over, put my hands behind my back, and I just stared at the window. I'm like, this might not be our day. But watching Malik Heath come down with his feet out, it was like, fuck. It was that moment, putting my hands in my head where I'm like, or my eyes, and I'm like, The season's over here. Do you have anything to say to defend your boy?
Do you feel like that happens with, I'm going to say, a more vocal leader at quarterback?
Oh, yeah. He should have yelled, get your feet down.
Here's what I'm saying is the accountability portion with that wide receiver room. I have no idea, but my suspicion is that there's a little bit of a lack of accountability in that room. That's my guess. That's my hope. Because that can be turned around.
You think so. You're complaining about players being held accountable in the wide receiver room and stupid mistakes? Like, I haven't been bitching about Jason Vrabel and the wide receiver coach for the last 2 to 3 years. Yes, I agree. I don't know how much to pin it for this one, because a guy like Malik Heath, who didn't get a lot of snaps during the season... It's tough to be like, how do you not have the fundamentals down? It's like, oh, that's right. You're a backup undrafted guy in your second year. But we'll get into that later, too, I think, because Tucker Kraft had some interesting comments as well about, I don't know, not even so much one, he's saying he has to be a better leader, but just how like the vibes were off a little bit, how they could almost see the loss coming. And it's like, well, who on offense are you referring to? Who I would think you are referring to? Maybe Romeo Doubs. I have no idea, but I don't know. Jaden Reed, yeah, he hurt his shoulder too. He tore something as well in it. What's up there? Is it your labrum? Is that a thing?
Labrum, I believe, is like cartilage in your shoulder.
Okay.
Or it's this really small muscle or something.
Okay. I believe that's what he fucked up, but that's what happened. So he probably wouldn't have been able to play the next week anyways. And then Christian Watson's father, who's, I don't know, out there either which way, but he said Christian has not had surgery yet, and he's thinking he's probably going to be back next year around like week 15 or something.
Labrum is the cartilage between your humerus, which is the like bicep tricep portion of your arm, mm-hmm. that attaches to like your scapula, which is your shoulder.
Okay, there we go. We'll roll with that. Tight ends, I mean, Tucker Kraft still, I love him so much. 5 receptions for 26 yards. Also had the 2 carries for 10, the long of 8. I was like, is this going to be the moment that jumpstarts this offense and everyone's rallying around that? That one sneak where first it was like, is he going
to
get it?
Stopped, and then he picked the hole off to the right.
He kept going. Jordan Love, too, watching it back. Jordan Love was in that scrum, mm-hmm. too, pushing over. It's like, this might be the moment. It was not the moment, unfortunately. Just already talked about it. Kraft talking about having to step up in the leadership game, which is kind of a weird thing to say publicly. It's probably something you do, not something you say so much. That was odd. Luke Musgrave did not have a single catch. He did line up wide once, so I'm sure Matt listened to the podcast. It was like, hey, this is an excellent idea. This is going to totally fool the Eagles. He just forgot to do it more than once.
I text him about it.
Okay, I figured. And the other dumb thing that doesn't really matter, but it does for this moment in this game, Fitzpatrick, the backup tight end, was active over Ben Sims, which was a little interesting. Fitzpatrick, who we picked up halfway through the year. Ben Sims, the undrafted tight end, who was scooped off the Vikings practice squad, who's been with the team for 2 years. So not really a big deal, but something to watch this offseason if maybe one or the other is no longer on the roster. But Todd, tight ends, anything else you got to add on there? I mean, we love Tucker Kraft.
We love Tucker Kraft. I thought it was really fun, like you talked about with that sneak, where it's just like it wouldn't stop going. He got through the line, and then what did he get, like 8 or 9 yards off of that?
It was eight. It was awesome.
Amazing.
I was almost expecting him to like spin out of it and score. You know,
that would have been amazing.
Oh, I would have exploded. I don't know what my fiance would have thought of me, especially because, again, like she's sitting in the room watching stupid ass TikToks, and I'm watching the game with, you know, just fucking hyper focused. I would have screamed like an idiot, and there would be silence in the room. And she's like, "What is this madman yelling at?" And then I'd be like, "No, look at the big white dumb idiot who just scored.
Look at the big guy with 85
running backs. Josh Jacobs. I do like him. I do like him quite a lot. 18 for 81, a 4.5 average, the one touchdown.
If you had to pick between him and Aaron Jones, who would you take?
You do not want my answer.
Because it's the wrong answer.
If you're getting one for 1 year.
That's not what you said.
I still might. The way, and it's it in a vacuum, yes, Josh Jacobs. But
okay.
But the way Matt changed this offense to feature Josh Jacobs, the way he changed the run game as well, where we're doing more of these inside runs, which is Aaron Jones had so much success on the outside runs. And we changed it, and we turned into a run-first team, and it took away our pass game, where Aaron Jones was so much of a slasher and a big play player, which is odd to say when, you know, Josh Jacobs had that incredible run. But it's just Aaron Jones was a little bit more unpredictable, and the offense around him and Jordan Love is just better in that way, where I don't like what this offense morphed into to play to Josh Jacobs' strengths. You know what I mean?
Instead of arguing with you about whether Josh Jacobs is better than Aaron Jones, because Josh Jacobs, obviously, but what would could you imagine if like we had Josh Jacobs earlier and we drafted Aaron Jones behind him, like what that 1-2 punch would look while like Aaron Jones is on his rookie deal? Like that would be, because Josh Jacobs can't block. So you have Aaron Jones coming on third down who can catch anything, who has like in space is super deadly, right? Like, he doesn't have, like, the breakaway speed for some reason, which is super weird. Like, he never really, like, broke a long one. He always got caught. If you remember, like, I don't, I always.
Those playoff, it's so weird how against the Bucks and against, or that might have, no, sorry, it was against the Niners and then the Niners.
Remember the Cowboys one when he busted?
The Niners.
Remember he busted the one against the Cowboys last year and he couldn't score?
No, I actually
he like
don't
slowed down
that.
Weird and like let the guy catch up to him. I think he's gonna try and like cut inside, and he just like got tackled.
I think you're thinking the Niners game too.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know. But anyways, my point was just like how fun would in that reality, like that universe, that timeline, whatever you want to call it, like if Aaron Jones, because I think, or no, sorry, Aaron Jones is older than Josh Jacobs by a couple years, so it'd be the other way around. If Josh Jacobs was on like a rookie deal,
sure,
and then you had Aaron Jones, like that tandem would be insanely good.
Hey, we had that tandem for all of 45
minutes.
I thought it was a couple hours.
Hmm.
Oh, I don't think it was pretty quick effort. But hey, again, Aaron Jones was half the price of Josh Jacobs. I love Josh Jacobs. We'll see. I mean, once we win the Super Bowl next year, I'll be like, oh, haha, that was a funny thought that I had. Emmanuel Wilson was fine too. He had that nice catch of run that I mentioned on the first and 20 that he picked up. Chris Brooks didn't even have a carry in this game. Offensive line. Ugh, fuck, man. I had forgotten about this. Elgton Jenkins going down. Who would have thunk that would completely ruin the offensive line and the offense in general? Rookie Travis Glover came in, then Telfort, who was the second year undrafted guy. I mean, Glover had three penalties. I think it was the two holds and the one illegal man downfield, which this crew, so that reffing crew with that fucking nerd who, for whatever reason, you know, I guess refs don't use the sky judge, but this is the same crew that called the illegal man downfield on the Lions last year, which was a little controversial. Mm-hmm. And of course they got him on this too. But here's a thought. So playoffs. So there's been some talk about this, you know, our draft last year, and they're like, oh my God, Jordan Morgan, blah, blah, blah. Now Jordan Morgan's hurt, but what would have helped more in this game? A first round corner or a first round offensive lineman?
You're saying if Jordan Morgan was healthy?
Yes.
Well, Jordan Morgan would have been
perfect.
A better.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for agreeing with me with a very biased question. Yes. Because if Jordan Morgan was healthy and he could have went right in, we maybe could have won this game potentially. And coming out of the game too, I can't believe I didn't jinx it last week, but our corners held up relatively well outside of Valentine on the one play too. Dallas Goedert, but not a great play or great game overall for the offensive line. Zach Tom, that one play was rough.
It was not good.
Jason Wilde did talk to him on Monday, and Tom admitted, and he doesn't talk to the media all that much. He did say to Wilde that bicep tear that he had, bicep or pec, I forgot earlier the year too. Going into training camp, remember he tore his pec?
He
said it lingered all year and it did have an effect on his play. Even for being him and Elton were the top two guys on our offensive line, he still played pretty well, but something to look forward to next year with hopefully a fully healthy Zach Tom. But offensive line, I don't know. You got anything to say? Not
I thought
best.
Too, did Josh Myers also have a pec tear? Did you hear that as well?
For this season?
I want to say it was recently during the season.
He did have some, it might have been his bicep. He did have some weird injury. He had the thumb or hand injury where he did miss one game on. And then obviously towards the end of the game, man, did that look bad where he got rolled up underneath. But apparently,
that looks really bad.
But thank God it sounds like a hairline fracture on his fibula or tibula, which isn't a big deal. So he should be able to enter free agency without much of a cause for concern for him.
Yeah, he flew back with the team and everything too, right? He didn't even stick around.
Oh, yeah, yeah, he's fine. And then there was that other report that he's fine. So that's I'm sure it was his agent talked to that Twitter guy and was like, hey, just so you know, Josh is fine. So that's it. That's the offense for this game. Anything else you can think of you want to talk about? I mean, what fun, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I did enjoy watching the run game all year. Super fun. So I guess that was my highlight for this Packers offense for the entire year. I mean, that was...
Now that I say it, we hinted at it. The Josh Jacobs run was awesome. He was short. I'm very glad that they called it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we didn't talk about that.
Yeah, I'm glad they called it a touchdown live. But that should have been the galvanizing moment, too, to jumpstart the offense. But, man, like watching the jersey get pulled back... And then him still running over two dudes. Malik Heath, he was watching from behind. He should have, if he would have ran up and gave Josh just one little push on his tush, would have been a tutty.
Which is funny because Malik Heath always like struck me as like a guy that like he's like the you know do everything but run routes and catch the ball guy. And like you know what I mean? Like you know, there's always that guy on the team when you're like, oh, like, he's not that great at like being a receiver, but like man, can he block? Like, and that feels like something that he would have done. If I had to guess. He would have been the guy, like before the game, if I had to make a prediction, he would have been the guy that pushed him in, but no.
Yeah.
It's tough when you're like, everyone goes down and you don't have the reps to just step in, but yeah, that run was, I mean, Josh Jacobs was there to play and I don't know how many other people on the offense were there to try and go win the game. That's like, that's the shitty thing about how I feel about this team. I could be completely wrong, but like, that's just the feeling I get when I watch.
That that run was the moment for me where, and we've said it multiple times before, but Eddie Lacy, like him and Aaron Jones, like my favorite running backs to watch. That was when I was like, maybe Josh is going to pass Eddie Lacy for like this big boy runner. Eddie, it's just, it's usually like the, like when Aaron Jones would run the ball, you're like, he has a different gear than everyone else. Eddie Lacy, when he ran it, it was like he has one gear less than everyone else, but he's still cranking out like 20-yard runs out of nothing and spinning out of guys. And like Josh Jacobs was kind of like all he did was run forward and run guys over. It's like this is football.
Josh Jacobs is like the cuts that Josh Jacobs makes are like my knees hurt when he cuts.
What was the game in like the first month of the season or maybe
when he juked that dude?
But yes, that was the one where
on
like
the pass
my knee would have buckled.
Against the Eagles, it was like every cut. I was like, oh my God, like my knee, it hurts to watch him do that.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what the offense looks like next year. I'm very interested to see Marshawn Lloyd as well. But with that, we'll have a quick commercial break. And we are back with the defense. The defense, good. I would take it at the... okay. You ready? This is the bad question. This is the bad question. This is dark
place. I'm ready for it.
Dark place question. If you know me, you might know where I'm going. Does Aaron Rodgers win this game with this defensive performance?
I think so.
That is, I should have cut you off before you said I think so. I think you had the right answer before you said I think so.
I think he does.
It's one of those where it's like the Niners game that we lost in 2021 in the playoffs. You're almost like, well, Jordan Love could have won that game. He could have put up more than 10 points or whatever we had in that one. And this one, it's like, God, you got Josh Jacobs. You got these. You got some better wide receivers than Allen Lazard and Hurt MVS and just Devontae. I don't know, but it's just we're not used to getting these types of playoff performances from our defense, and to waste it, which is something that Matt LaFleur referenced, just feels like a fucking bummer.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't win the Super Bowl, but I do, now that I'm thinking about it, I do think he wins this game.
I don't think he throws three picks. That's kind of the biggest thing.
Right. He doesn't throw the picks, and he for sure throws two touchdowns. How many times did Aaron Rodgers not throw two touchdowns? And with him, that's a way more talented group than Aaron had the last couple years.
His last playoff game with the Packers, he definitely didn't throw two touchdowns. So, I mean,
it's rare, is my point.
Yeah, but I don't know. Either it's, and I thought, I mean, I really liked the performance from the defense because you have to almost take away those 7 points too off the jump. But I guess we'll start there too. The pass rush, fuck. The first series when they got it, I mean, God, the first 10 plays of the game were all negative for the Packers and in a pretty significant way. That one, the first Jalen Hurts throw where he had all day.
Didn't he have like 7 seconds to throw the ball?
I believe I heard something like that. I was like 6 or 7 seconds. You watch that and you're like, man, my brain
was melting. I'm yelling at the TV like someone's got to get it. It was like both ends were playing like bad QB spies. Like they weren't actually rushing.
Rashawn like stopped.
Yeah, I'm like, what am I watching? I'm like, this is going to be a horrible game.
It's like,
and then it got better, but
it's like I get doing that, like the mush rush or whatever, where you want Jalen Hurts to throw. I do not get it in the red zone. Like that is not the spot.
And then we turn around and we put pressure on him. We blitz the next series or the next drive. The rest of the game. And he's garbage.
Yeah, dude. It was like Goff when we would blitz him. And that's the thing. And that's what you like about Jeff Hafley. I pray to God he's back next year. But he learned so quickly because we did not see that type. It's like they literally had, they're like, well, let's try what we tried in Brazil and try to keep him in the pocket, see what happens. And Jalen Hurts tore us apart in Brazil throwing the ball. And then it's like we had the one mini series at the beginning. And then after that, we did a pretty good job of containing him. We only had the 2 sacks, but Jalen Hurts was if we weren't actually creating pressure, he was acting like he was getting pressured multiple times, especially on third downs.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, how often we've talked about these good teams that have these good offensive lines. Look at the Vikings, look at the Lions, look at the Eagles. We played all of them, and when we don't pressure them, those quarterbacks light it up. Get a little bit of pressure on those guys who aren't used to seeing it, or maybe who aren't all that actually talented.
Right.
And they don't have time to go through their reads, and their first guy's not open, and they panic. Like, Jared Goff panicked when we got a little bit of pressure on him in the second half of that first game we played. And it's like, oh, that's all you have to do is hit him once or twice? And he's like, ah, shit, what the hell? I got to get the ball out. Like, it's just a completely different game.
Yeah, Gary did have the one complete sack. He was the only guy who had the one, I think, like McDuffie and Wooden split a different one. One of the worst plays was Rashawn Gary had Hurts. He just had him in his hands. Ran out of it and picked up 15 yards as well.
Yeah, like, oh, that sucked.
That was quite the bummer. Pass D, I mean, overall, still thought it was pretty good. Hurts finished 13-21, 131 yards, the 2 touchdowns. I mean, like we said, he was sacked the 2 times, but
it doesn't hurt that Hurts is missing wide open guys down the field either. That doesn't hurt the pass D.
But if you told me A.J. Brown would finish, did you see? Okay, you have the stats up. 1 for 10 is all yes. A.J. Brown finished with. Devonta Smith, 4 for 55. Dallas Goedert, 4 for 47. But if you show me that, I'm like, we probably won that game. But unfortunately, we did not win that game. The one pass play I would probably take back even more so than the Dotson touchdown. Dallas Goedert, man.
The Goddard, I mean, yeah.
Ugh, it sucks because Valentine, that was the one thing after last year. It's like you got to hit the weight room and bulk up a bit. And I think for the majority of the season, he played a little bit more physically. That was... He got stiff-armed 4 times in one play. Goddard slowed down and stiff-armed him reverse. Like, he was past him, and he was still, like, pushing him down like he was a little dog trying to jump up on him.
It's like a lion playing with a baby impala.
Yeah, those videos are sad that you see on that. Oh, like, the hard, and it's like, hardcore come here, nature.
Come here, Cubs. You play with it.
Yeah, not great. But yes, I don't have many complaints outside of that. I mean, Keyshawn was fine too. Really can't complain. Run D.
Can you imagine if we could get pressure with 4 on this defense? If you replaced 2 ends with 2 ends that could rush, and you could get, I don't even care who they are. If you put 2 ends out there that can rush the passer. And you can only, you rush 4 and you get pressure like most 4-3 teams do. What would this defense have been this year? It's a top 5 defense with like the worst pass rush I've seen in a long time. Like a long time. If you're just talking guys that are rushing every play.
I guess.
I mean, it's bad.
It was bad. And LaFleur said that at the end of season presser too, how the defense didn't look like what he expected going into the season, which might be the worst thing you want to hear when it comes to Rashawn Gary. because that's all it is. Like, in even Joe Barry's defense, it was kind of that same thing where, you know, drop everyone back, rush your front five, make something happen. And if not, you know, you got guys back there, wait for a mistake. Make, have one guy win his one-on-one. And Rashawn Gary just could not do it this year.
The thing that gets me about Rashawn, too, is, like, he's a guy who I look at and I'm like, he looks powerful. Mm-hmm. He's pretty fast. But then when you put him in front of a tackle, he's just, like, not – he, like, doesn't want to make a move.
He just shimmies.
He just wants to – he's, like, the hand fighting. He's, like, the guy who – with the knife – against Aaron Donald in the train. He just keeps shimmying at Aaron Donald, like trying to poke him. It's like the roles are switched and, you know, Rashawn's trying to poke the tackle in the tummy. And it's like, well, what are we doing? I feel like the skill is there and he's probably lost the steps with the knee injury. Like, that happens, but you don't need to be outrageously fast. He's power. Like, he's power, but he doesn't use it, it feels like. I don't know. I want to say that there's hope. That there's hope for him. If somebody can teach him how to just bull rush, have an inside move, dude, and like, that's it.
It's year six. It is year six for Rashawn. I think Rashawn is Rashawn.
We're stuck. So we might as well be optimistic.
I mean, maybe next year he rolls out and he looks like 2022 Rashawn Gary, who is on an absolute tear, but it's just, that seems like a different player at this point. I'm almost like, I mean, he was still, you know, one of our better pass rushers. I'm sure his win rate was still high. But I'm almost like, hey, put on 30 pounds and let's move you to a defensive tackle at this. It's just, I don't know what to do. It's just, it's a bummer. We'll see what happens. Yada, yada. Still, with the run D, again, Barkley, I mean, averaged 4.8 yards a carry, handled him pretty well. He could have scored another touchdown probably at the end. I think Keyshawn maybe would have caught him, but he decided to sit down instead and milk the clock.
I don't know if Keyshawn can catch him.
I think he had you think of Barkley as like a really big, thick guy, but he's really not as...
He's pretty fast.
Yeah, he's fast and he's a little shorter, I think, than you would think. Cooper played pretty well against the run. I remember one play specifically where it's one of those where the back gets the ball and you're like, fuck, this is a first down. And he chased him from behind and just made it a 5-yard gain. So that was nice. And then, I mean, if you're going to mention it, TJ Slayton with that dumb penalty. Honestly, I haven't seen a replay of it. I just know it was a little too late. Those refs were fucking nerds, man, because they got TJ on that one and they got Nixon on that other one too, which both of those guys, it's like, just don't put your hands on them and hit late. But at the same time, it's like, it's the fucking playoffs, refs. Nobody got hurt. Nothing was egregious. Just let them fucking play. That pissed me off.
Slayton's a guy who, down the stretch, I felt like played really well. Like, I felt like I noticed him in a lot of different, like, run play situations, just, like, blowing up runs. Like, that's a guy who, like, I think he's an unrestricted free agent. That's a dude that, if we're going to talk about it later, like, that's a guy I want back.
There, I forgot who had the stat, but it's something where when TJ Slayton is on the field for runs as a team, the average for the running back is 1 yard less per carry.
Really?
However,
that's got to be a huge impact if you're talking across the board.
When the opposing team passes and TJ Slayton is on the field, it's like 1.5 yards more. So it's tough. You got to know when to use them. Again, he didn't actually have a ton of snaps. I think it was around like 30% of the snaps on the season, but defensive lineman, it's kind of like that anyways. But
he feels like a guy where like this run defense, especially like in goal to go situations or third and one, fourth and one situations, like he is the guy that like makes the difference. Like they can't move him. He's either blowing up the play or he's letting somebody make the play.
And from a draft class that wasn't very good, I believe he was a 6th round pick. Can't ask for anything better than TJ Slayton there. Special teams. I mean, fuck, we touched on it. I don't even know how much more we have to talk about it.
It's so painful to watch.
I think, I mean, we did. There was a couple penalties too, I think. McManus missing that field goal. We went into it. Just sucked. Of course, I think it was 21 for 22 on the season. And again, it was something about that camera angle and being on the right hash. I'm like, maybe I was just stressed out because it was the playoffs. I'm like, are we going to make
20 this? For 21?
It looked like a long 38, you know, one of those where I'm like, it's like we had that other chip shot field goal. I was like, oh yeah, this is a lot easier, but just a bummer. Obviously, Keyshawn, he says he's not going to be the kick returner next year, whatever, we'll see. But Whelan was pretty good, right? He had a couple nice boomers. He had his second punt, I think, was huge. Like, he flipped the field. I think we had a 3-and-out, punted it to the 30, and was it Bo Melton, whoever it was? Great tackle. Great tackle to get to Gene on the 30.
I believe they were both. He had two punts. Both of them were 50 yards.
Damn. Yeah, that's pretty good. With that, Todd, anything else you want to let out about this game before we move on to the offseason, unfortunately? Well, talk about the offseason, not us.
What do you think about if Nixon isn't returning kicks?
Don't give a shit.
You don't care? You think he... What about his comment about being the outside corner?
Don't care. That's the guy day after the season. We have free agency draft coming up. Keyshawn Nixon is a weird...
What's his deal, though? How many years, real years,
I believe does he have? I believe we signed him to a three-year, it's a 2 or 3 year deal from last year because he was paid pretty well also. But
is it funny money in year three?
I don't think so. I don't think the contract's big enough to care about how much it is. Mm. You know, like it's not
okay,
real.
So
corner.
It's like an old contract that means something.
It's something like probably $8 million a year or less. I think it's something along that. But it's I shouldn't like Keyshawn because he had one this game, the personal foul and all that, and he's kind of outspoken. But he's a guy that you know he cares about the team. You know he cares about the defense, and you know his effort is always there. And when you have that, I'll let a lot of shit slide, like stupid comments after. And it's like Matt said at the presser too, and he said on the Matt Schneidman show as well, that Keyshawn will return kicks if they want him to return kicks. So we'll see.
Oh, Matt said that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, then he should be returning kicks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he wasn't super.
Because I don't expect him outside as the number one corner next year.
No. He's not a bad corner anyways. Well, but he's like the perfect utility guy in the secondary, yeah. I think. So
That's true. He's our fifth lineman, or sorry, our sixth lineman that you can just move around wherever you want. I feel like Lane Taylor was that for the longest time, where it's like, oh, we'll just plug him wherever we want. It wasn't always the greatest experiment.
Do you remember the original, at least for us being 32?
A while ago? Mm-hmm. Are you talking?
About 10 years.
When you say it, I'm going to...
The worst version of all of these flexible offensive linemen, Don Barclay.
Oh, that's not who I thought you were going to say.
Mm. Interesting. I think we'd spend too much time trying to find the other one. But Don, it's like, oh, he can play guard. He can play tackle. It's like, oh, he's fucking terrible at
He
all
can play those positions, yeah. Just not well.
Yeah. With that, we will have Take News.
Football time. Take News.
Take news for the week. Last take news of the 2024 season. It is the new year, but, you know, off-season stuff. Lots of things to talk about. Todd, you know, we talked about this a little bit ahead of time because, you know, I had a brag and be like, hey, I'm so fucking smart. Jeff Hafley is going to be interviewing with the New York Jets to be their next head coach. Apparently, he's from the New Jersey area. Very interesting. And if, you know, longtime listeners, if you've been listening since the beginning of the season, my one worry, couple things I've said the last 2 years, two things I kind of talked about. One, like what, after the 2023 draft and then seeing the receivers, it's we need to win a Super Bowl with this batch of young talent before we have to pay them. But then going into this year, I said we kind of need to try to win a Super Bowl with Jeff Hafley because I think he's going to be a really good defensive coordinator and he's going to leave to be a head coach. Just hearing the fucking guy talk, he's got that moxie. I am going to be so depressed if he leaves to be a head coach somewhere. Bill Huber, I didn't see the actual report, but another journalist quote tweeted him saying that he's going to have interviews. So potentially more teams than just the Jets. Again, like Even Ben Johnson last year, he took some interviews and did not become a head coach. I also wonder if Halfley would want to jump around, you know, 3 years in a row to be in different cities and move his family around. Maybe he wants to stick around for another year with the Packers, build up that resume, and perhaps get some better offers. Obviously, the Jets are a dysfunctional organization. But yeah, Jeff Halfley, Todd, what are your thoughts on him potentially leaving and what that would mean for the defense?
I definitely don't like him leaving. I don't love switching defensive coordinators year after year, consecutive years. That's not great. I don't know. I like Jeff. I think if you gave him some pass rushers, I'd be really interested to see what that defense could do. Like, that could be a really scary attacking defense. So I don't want to see him go. That would suck. Yeah, I like him.
I love the way he was able to change. It's funny because, you know, I've kind of complained about what Matt did to the offense to change it to, you know, work with the strengths of his players, which was Josh Jacobs. But it's like, you know, that's not exactly what you want to. It's not today's NFL. But then Halfley switching over and then knowing he doesn't have an elite pass rusher and still, like, you know, these what do they call them? The not syndicated rushes, but you still send four
simulated pressure
where it's a corner coming or a safety or a linebacker and then someone else drops back. Like, that worked great, obviously, against the Eagles as well. But man, it would be such a bummer too, because the way I'm looking at it, Jeff came in, and it's not just Jeff coming in, but it's his staff coming in. Because I would anticipate if Jeff leaves to be a head coach somewhere, he's going to take Anthony Campanelli, or however you say his last name, the linebacker coach, who coached up Edgerrin Cooper really well this year. He's been the one position coach that I've heard his name the most throughout the season. He took defensive coordinator interviews last year. If Jeff leaves, I assume Campanelli's coming with him to be his DC. Along with that, I would think, I forgot the guy's name. It's a long, goofy name, but assistant defensive line coach who came with him from Boston College, I think he would leave too, which you're like, assistant defensive line coach, like, who fucking cares?
And the D-line was so good that...
Right. But if any, especially with the way Matt works, like, the one guy we've complained about on the defense side of the ball coaching is Jason Ribovich, the defensive line coach. Well, if he gets fired, they'd probably promote this guy. Well, if that guy's gone, it's more likely Jason Ribovich is going to stick around too. So that would really suck. And again, I think I've said this, it would really, really fucking suck to go from Matt LaFleur hiring a defensive coordinator who had no business being a defensive coordinator, and then moving on from that to a guy who was too good to be a defensive coordinator, that you could only keep him around for 1 year. And that's just that's literally my biggest worry going into this offseason.
Any way you cut it, it's bad if Jeff Halfley leaves. I mean, potentially his replacement could be in the building as, say, an offensive consultant. Who knows?
I kind of interrupted there.
No, you're good.
The two names to throw out to be our next defensive coordinator. One, if Halfley leaves, easiest one would obviously be Robert Saleh. That would probably be the best, because I complained about it last week too, where if Saleh goes back to the Niners as their DC, I'm like, this was fucking ridiculous to bring him on as an offensive consultant or whatever to self-scout our offense. Because it's like, he literally studied the Packers offense and Matt for an entire year, and now he's going to one of the better teams. Like, I think everyone assumes the Niners are going to bounce back and just be fine next year. Where was I going with this? Oh, the other guy, and it's a name that's bounced around a bit, and I've heard multiple people bring this name up, is Ryan Downard. If I had a bet right now who our next defensive coordinator is going to be, it's Ryan Downard. Because all things considered, I think Halfley will be back next year. When he leaves, he's going to probably bring Campanelli with him. And I think Matt's going to want to keep that same kind of core around, promote from within, which is what he always does. And Ryan Downard would be that guy. Ryan Downard is a younger dude. I think he's a former player one way or another. He was, if you saw even last year, he was always sitting next to Joe Barry in the booth while he's calling plays. You see, this year, he was the guy right next to Jeff Hafley, always calling plays. Everyone around him has always said he's a really smart dude. He was with Hafley in Cleveland, I believe, when he was there 5-6 years ago. He's a smart guy. Safety's played pretty well this year, obviously with X as well. I think he's going to be the next defensive core. I mean, you know, I wish there was like live odds to bet on that because they're probably astronomical right now. But that would be my guess, a name to think about.
He was with the Browns 2014-2015 as an assistant coach, so that checks out.
Cool. Thank you. See, I'm such a loser that I knew this.
And he played in college at Eastern Michigan. No
pros. I didn't even know if he played. He just looks strong, and he has a good chin. So I'm like, that's a football player. Oh,
wow. That's very weird of you to look at somebody and assume.
Why?
It's just, I just think it's weird.
Oh, okay. Another coach to talk about. I assume you saw this too. A bummer. It's one of those things that totally slipped my mind. But Tom Clemens retiring.
Saw that.
One of those last year when we saw we were bringing Sean Manning in to be a quarterback coach, meaning we had like three quarterback coaches with Tom Clemens, Sean Manning, the former quarterback, and then, what's his name? The analytics guy. God, I know it. Fuck. God, I can see his face right now too. But he kind of had a bad year because he's the analytics guy and he was always the one who would tell Matt when to challenge. And I assume that was still on his plate. So he's probably going to be in the running too, but we'll see. I assume Sean Mannion is going to be the next QB coach. If not, it might be someone who was helping out with the staff this year, Luke Getsy, who was self-scouting the defense and obviously was our quarterback coach before Tom Clemens. So,
do you think that Clemens saw that second pick to Zach Bond and he was like, that's it? There wasn't even a Packer in sight. I can't help him.
Something else Matt talked about was how Jordan Love's footwork wasn't great, especially the second half of the year. It is, and it's overanalyzing something, which is, I don't know if you know this, I do this way too much.
You?
But Tom Clemens saying he came back to coach the Packers, and this is originally with Aaron Rodgers when he's coming back to coach him again, was he wanted to come back to coach. He came out of retirement because he wanted to win a Super Bowl. And now he retires. And it's like, oh, Tom, do you want to just spend time in California with where you live? And apparently they made a lot, like he's done a bunch of different shit with his life. He's lived a very interesting life. But you don't think we'll win a Super Bowl? That is the most negative way to look at it. But I don't know. We'll see.
How I like to look at things.
The next thing to think about, should we fire Rich Bisaccia? The Packers.
Are you really asking that question?
Well, what do you think? Should we?
Well, I just want to hear, you're asking the question as like a hypothetical, rhetorical question or like a real question.
Yeah, it's just he's.
Because I know your opinion.
Yeah, I would probably want to fire him.
I can't be worse. That's the thing. It's like, what are you going to do worse?
No, it absolutely could be. It 1 billion
really?
Percent could. Do you not remember how our last game under our last special teams coordinator ended against the Niners with the block punt and everything else?
I guess the returns are the only thing that's kicker. Not horrible.
Well, kick unit, punt unit, I think our coverage units actually have been pretty good, but there's so many.
Yeah, the kicking
fucking
stuff was a disaster until you got somebody who actually already knew how to kick. You had to bring in somebody who was coached up by somebody else that already knew how to kick.
True, but it's not like special teams coordinators are like going up and it's like, oh, Brandon, I know you've been kicking for, you know, since high school, but this is how you kick a football. Like, I don't think they're doing that. It's mostly the coverage.
I think they change stuff with their rookie. My point was like he got his rookie. They drafted his best buddy ever's brother, brought him in. He couldn't. He flopped. And then it was like, okay, here's all these other guys. No, it's not working. We can't figure it out.
But it's
the long snapping is always like, oh.
But again, it's like, I don't know if he's going to teach someone how to long snap. It's mostly just the coverage units is always what I'm most concerned with and penalties. And it just felt like a third of the penalties this year came on special teams plays. And we had a block punt too. We had a block kick, I believe, this year. It's just
not being prepared for like trick. When he had like said in the presser that he wasn't worried about trick plays, and then
focusing on tricky stuff. Yeah. And this is something. This is a new gripe that popped up because I hadn't heard this, and I listened to Jason Wilde quite a bit. He said, so he's not on the best terms with Rich Bisaccia because they've had some back and forths in the media when he's asking questions. Wilde said that he learned this year, which he wasn't aware of, that Rich Bisaccia is very good friends with Joe Barry. Rich Bisaccia is also the assistant head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I'm going to be willing to, I would bet that if Rich Bisaccia wasn't the assistant head coach / special teams coordinator, we would have moved on from Joe Barry at least a year sooner. And you're like, oh, Spencer, oh, but if that happens, we wouldn't have had Jeff Hafley, right?
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Do you know who else was available in that time? Brian Flores. Brian Flores for the Minnesota Vikings.
I should have said it. That was going to be my guess.
We could have hired Brian Flores. And of course, this is just me, a dumb fan. I don't know any actual connections with these people. But you could have moved on from Joe Barry a year sooner. I bet Rich talked Matt out of it to not. Again, and that's what I hated, because the rationale for keeping him too is like, you don't want to change, like, even when Rodgers was sticking around too, like when Rodgers came back and they didn't move on, it's like, you don't want to have all this turnaround when you're making a run for the Super Bowl. It's like, you can bring in a new coaching staff and be just fine. We saw that this year with our defense, obviously. Like, that is one of the worst arguments, is saying like, oh, you can't make that type of change if you want to be serious about making a Super Bowl run. Because every year now you're seeing coordinators being able to turn around an offense or defense pretty quickly in this league.
I think there is like a statistic out there that no team with a new offensive coordinator has ever won the Super Bowl with a first-year offensive coordinator.
Oh, really?
I guess that's a stat.
Offense makes a little bit more sense. The Chiefs winning their first Super Bowl with Mahomes, I believe, the year before. They had a defensive coordinator, totally fell apart in the playoffs. They fired him. Then they hire Spags. Next year, they win the Super Bowl. So that's always been an example that I've looked at. Moving on from the coaching staff, looking at the roster now. First thing to talk about, someone who we have not talked about yet, Jair Alexander. Probably moving on from him. I guess I don't know the best way to organize this. But Jair was made available. Well, he could have talked. He was at the locker room cleanout day, which is one thing. He did not talk to the media. He said, I'm not going to talk. If I did, I'd probably say something bad, and I'm probably not going to be back here anyways. Just a bummer. I wish he would have handled that a little bit better. Wilde talked about this as well. Wilde has a bit of a relationship with him, and he tried to talk to him. It looks like he was going to talk to Wilde, but then once everyone else in the locker room, all the media saw he was talking and they came over, Jair was like, no, I'm not going to talk, yada, yada. And it's just a real bummer if he truly does not come back. It will be interesting. I'm still back and forth if I would bring him back for $6 million. I think I probably would, but I don't know anything that has actually gone on within that building between Jair and the Green Bay Packers. But Todd, do you have any thoughts you got to let out on this too?
On Jair, it's a tough thing with not being available to play the snaps. Like, then it's just like, what do you do? And that's like my whole thing on Eric Stokes. And he did play all year this year, which was a shocker to me. But like,
I hadn't even thought of that until you just said that. That he didn't get hurt.
When you have a guy that's never available, you get to a point where it doesn't matter how good he is, because he's not playing. So then it's like, what does it matter? And if I did not care about it at all last year when whatever happened, because it's like, oh, it's a one-off thing. But I was like, man, this is like a problem. And when you hear about like, okay, now he's just had surgery, and it's like, okay, he tried to work through it, it didn't work, whatever the conversations were, doesn't matter. But it's like, okay, if there's like fluid in the knee, that phrase, fluid in the knee, is like, I have like PTSD from right. Dan Bakhtiari. Yeah. So I'm like, his knee's destroyed. You know, ship him to the Jets. Like, we're done. Like, move on. I don't know. Like, I'm fine with moving on just because, like, things were okay on the back end with no pass rush and very little, like, corner talent, I'm just going to say. Like, or refined corner talent. I think Valentine's. Anyways, I'm fine with moving on and getting some young talent back there and just seeing what we can do. And if we have a pass rush, I think it could be great. I don't know.
Yeah, if like I said, if it were up to me, I'd probably keep him, but I don't know also what went on behind closed doors there. But again, it's just I put so much blame on Matt because he really does no favors for his injured players like this. Because we don't know what was wrong with Jair, really. I mean, if he really did tear his PCL or whatever, it's like, yeah, that seems like something you miss a lot of time for. And I think it kind of paints, like, I think a lot of fans and maybe fans who just watch games on Sunday, they're not losers and dive deeper like us, where they're like, Jair is just that diva asshole corner who, you know, just cared more about money than actually playing. And it's like, we still don't know what all the circumstance was this year. If we do release him and he signs for another team, they're going to get a bargain, I feel like. Because if he plays a full year, he's going to absolutely, like, outperform his contract. And it sucks, too, because this is dumb. And again, this is just bias. But, like, Wilde talked about this. And I forgot the actual quote, but Jair had some quote where he was talking to Eric Stokes or someone, and it was about how, like, you got to leave negative plays in the past and move on. It was a lot more eloquent than that, but it was good enough where Wilde, who coaches his daughter's basketball team, used it for, like, some phrase or whatever with a team, and he made shirts for the team. And then Wilde told Jair about that, and Jair's like, oh, give me a can I get a shirt? So Jason Wilde brought in, like, his, you know, 10-year-old girl's basketball team t-shirt for Jair, and Jair would wear the shirt all the way or multiple times at the facility, and Jair even came and, like, talked to Wilde's daughter's basketball team. Like, he's not a bad guy. I think he's just kind of a weirdo, and he was put in a weird spot these past 2 years getting injured, and just the way he talks and communicates with people, there's just such a void there where everyone comes up with their own, you know, what's actually going on. And I think most people are going with what is probably most likely to be the outcome, but we just still don't know what has gone on in his brain, in his knee, in his body the last 2 years. So it's a bummer, but we'll just have to wait and see what happens this offseason with him.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad guy at all. I think he's a little bit weird, sure. I mean, I think most guys that are, they're a little bit, like, eccentric. They're a little bit, like, out there. If you're, you know, you kind of want your corners to be a little bit out there a little bit, I think. Yes. Like, I'm totally fine with it. I don't think he's a bad guy. I think there's, like, so many funny moments, too, of him. Like, we got a lot of fun sound bites from him, too.
Like, the back half of last year sucked. That's when he was an issue. But I don't really blame him that much because Joe Barry was inept. But going into this year, we were all very, very high on Jair, and he was very high. Like, he came to the offseason workouts and everything. He talked up Jeff Hafley. But I don't know. It's goofy, and I wonder if we'll ever get the full story out of that. Free agency, looking at the guys we're losing, and we'll just rip through these quick. Todd, tell me if you want them back or not. I think some of these guys are exclusive free agents or restricted free agents, meaning the Packers could pretty much bring them back for less than $1 million, but we'll just rip through these guys. Again, not under contract. Packers would have to sign them. Josh Myers.
He's unrestricted, no.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I wouldn't be shocked if we bring him back. I hope we don't. But again, it's kind of like one of those things that we talked about at the beginning of the year with Jason Kelce retiring with Hurts, how Josh makes all the calls on the line. Jordan doesn't. So it's either Moore is going to be on Jordan's plate or Elton potentially would have to learn more about that.
That's why I think Elton goes inside.
Makes the most sense, especially with Jordan Morgan, if wanting to get him back on the field. Isaiah McDuffie.
Dirt cheap, maybe, but I feel like the time has passed. I feel like the great years are behind. He's only 26. I wouldn't hate him sticking around for another year.
How about this? Isaiah McDuffie or Eric Wilson? Pick one.
Isaiah McDuffie. He's much younger.
Yeah, I would go Wilson just because I think he plays a little bit more special teams. I think he's a little more versatile.
Yeah, I guess I'm not thinking about special teams a whole lot. But yeah, I mean, he is 31, though, Eric Wilson.
True. But I just think of Hopper eventually has to get on the field or make some type of move. And I think he's competing more with McDuffie than he is Eric Wilson. Eric Stokes. You don't want Eric Stokes back, huh?
I would be fine Eric Stokes coming back on a team-friendly deal.
I would, too. You know, I would, too. He's a good
healthy
vibes
all
guy,
year,
too.
It's like...
Yeah.
Again, I never had a beef with him. It's just the health. But he was healthy all year.
I like how you said beef, like you and him are at
it's
odds.
It's like I didn't like his play.
You didn't like his play much.
I think I didn't like his play much.
TJ Slayton.
Yeah, I want Slayton back.
I would too. I'm curious what he's going to get. And this is also in descending order. I think this is Packers Wire where I ripped all these from. TJ Slayton played less snaps than Eric Wilson this year, which on the surface you just would think he'd
be that's interesting.
More of an impactful player. These are all exclusive rights. Daniel Whelan, we want back, I assume. Brandon McManus is unrestricted. I think you bring him back into camp at least. And maybe if he falls apart, you sign someone else. But I'd bring him back.
You have to bring him back. He was almost 100% on the year.
Almost, but one miss was quite loud.
Yep, but I think you definitely bring him back.
Yep. Emmanuel Wilson, he'll be back. He's another exclusive rights guys. Last two here, Trevor Davis.
No.
Yeah, I don't think so. Here we go. You ready? A.J. Dillon.
No.
I
is there any more weird contracts where we can get him for like $500,000?
No, but you know what they've brought up?
I don't think I would want him for that.
You know who would be eligible for that?
I don't know.
Eric Stokes.
That would actually?
I wonder if we'll try to pull that shit on Eric Stokes. Cause
that would be ideal.
The thing is, Eric Stokes and Kevin King are the same exact player, just ravaged by injuries, not that great, and they're like back end of their Packers career probably going to be like one of those, like Devon House too, where it's like, I'm fine with him on the roster, but he plays more
Except
than I would want him to.
Kevin King and Devon House were way more physical than Eric Stokes.
I don't think
Eric Stokes to me is like branded as like a speed guy without quickness. The coverage skills.
Yeah.
That's actually what it is. Yes. Without the ability to change direction.
Yeah. He is Jordan Love if Jordan Love played corner.
Sure.
That's such a stupid... I don't even know why I said that. I don't even fucking know. Okay. Last thing... Well, not last thing. We got a couple more things here. Todd, you know, we're getting into the offseason, and man, do I fucking hate Twitter at this time where everything... Like Ken Ingles, it's like, you know, if the Packers cut this guy, we'll create this much cap space. And it's like all these... Like, now he's just going down rabbit holes on rabbit holes of possibilities or, you know, what potentially we could do this offseason. Todd, what is the move you would like to make this offseason? It could be a draft, free agency, trade. What would you want to do?
As far as just, like, one move to make the team better?
Yeah.
I don't know who. I haven't looked into it enough, but I think you sign a veteran wide receiver. I think that could change the offense. It doesn't have to be a guy who's like a stud either, in my opinion. It just has to be somebody who's a locker room guy. I just, that's my biggest thing.
It's funny to hear you say that because, I mean, you know, there's two names out there.
Yeah, T. Higgins and Davante Adams.
Who would you want between those two?
I have a hard time saying Davante Adams.
I
like his work ethic, and that's kind of what I want, but I think he's way too expensive.
I would sign Davante Adams in a heartbeat. Do you know how old he is?
I don't know, like 31, 32?
32. So he's 32 years old. And we've, you know, if you listen to this podcast, this is the end of year six here. What we always talked about with Kyle... And what I said is Devontae's game goes with his, like, it follows him with his age. Because he's not a super fast guy. It's off the line. He's just fantastic. He's sure-handed, all of that shit. He's not going to cost that much money. He's probably...
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that, though. How much do you think he's going to go for?
He is the same age as DeAndre Hopkins. And Hopkins is getting, like, $10 million.
He is?
And he's also a free agent. So, especially, Devontae's made all his money. And I think he's seen the last 3 years wow, life does suck when you don't have a quarterback.
That could be true.
And on top of people are like, oh, it's a crowded wide receiver room, yada, yada, yada. It's like, Christian Watson tore his ACL. And you're like, well, what about drafting a wideout? If you can go looking at 2026, what I would do, I would sign Devontae to a two-year deal, 15 mil per, something like that. I have no idea what it'll actually be, but tentatively, let's say it's 15 mil. Going into next year, you have Devontae, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Romeo Doubs, and Malik Heath, okay? Sure, that's a good group. Going into 2026, if you don't sign Watson and Doubs, you still have Devontae, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks. You could keep Malik Heath, Bo Melton, and I think that would be the year where you could draft a guy. And something that we've complained about, or what I've complained about, one, the coaching of the wide receivers, and two, the identity of the offense. I think the identity changes when Devontae comes back because he's going to want the ball. And I'm fine with Devontae demanding the ball because that means we're going to pass the ball more. I think he's more sure-handed than anyone else on this team right now when that has been a huge struggle this year as well. The leadership he would bring, I think T. Higgins is a good player, you know, but he's going to be super expensive. If we wouldn't pay Devontae Adams top wide receiver money 3 years ago, I don't want to be paying some guy from a different organization that type of money now. I think that's just not the move I would make. So I would sign Devontae and win the Super Bowl.
I think even like what I think if the contract was friendly enough to the team, I would obviously love to have Devontae. I think he's great for the room, and bonus points, he's pretty good at catching the ball and getting open and stuff off the line, especially. I even just was thinking a less skilled player that's just a veteran, almost like when we had Mercedes Lewis in the tight end room, of like a guy who's like middle of the road as far as like talent goes, but has like the work ethic and like just something for that room. I guess that's my minimum, just something for the room. I don't know.
But
your point of earlier, maybe it's just a coaching change.
It
could be as easy as that.
But for me, I don't want to just sign a guy. I want some type of difference maker, you know, because I feel like right now we already have a bunch of young guys who are just kind of middling. And it's like you want someone who's been there and done that, who even if his skills are declining right now with his age, like he knows the nuances of playing wide receiver in the NFL, which the coaching staff just haven't been able to bring to these guys. Because again, still most of these, like Watson and Doubs, when they had the most veteran guys in that room, it was fucking Alan Lazard and Randall Cobb, I guess. You know, but that's just still two of those guys. You know,
so here's my, a quick counterpoint on, I just think that like, if you spend too much money on your wide receivers, I don't really believe you go that far. I think your money is better spent elsewhere. And I just don't want to spend a bunch of money on Devontae. Yeah. That's my only thing. Like,
fair. I don't think we will.
Stud wideouts don't go to the Super Bowl.
Eh, I don't know. We'll see.
It's pretty rare. It's really rare.
Ebbs and flows. The league always changes. But the thing, yes, cheaper, you know, nothing that kills you. But at the same time, I would be surprised if Brian Gutekunst signs a 32-year-old wide receiver this offseason. But I don't know. We'll see. That's what I would do either which way. Packers have the 23rd pick in the draft. I think Matt Schneidman tweeted this out. Have you seen this fun little thingamabob for how everything's lining up?
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
The Green Bay Packers, the last time they had the 23rd pick, they drafted Brian Bulaga. Their quarterback was going into their third year, and they just finished a 11-win season. That year, they went on to win the Super Bowl. Everything is lining up to potentially be the same.
Oh, my gosh.
I guess just
like the last time we were the sixth seed. We didn't get it this year, but
yeah. See, we should have got, if we got the sixth seed this year, we would have won the whole thing. Who do you want to draft? You got a position? Anything?
Am I just whoever the first round pick is? Saying?
Yeah.
I haven't looked into it at all, but I wouldn't be upset if it was a corner.
Yeah, corner or edge player, I'd still go with. But Who knows? A couple little fillers here. Looking around, how much time we got? Did you see the Packer fan and the Philly fan going on? I did watch that video. Yeah, that was bad. You know what? We're not even going to get into that. We'll just say that was bad, right?
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad.
Yeah, it's weird to see older people just talk like that in public. I know it's Philly, but still jarring.
Can I say something?
Yeah, I'll allow it.
I think it's weird to record that.
Okay, so we're getting into it now?
I'm just saying, let's just pretend someone says that to your fiance. Do you immediately pull your phone out? I would never.
No. Well,
literally, I would.
Okay, we're getting into it now. Let's see how many people are still going to be listening to this. So the Packers YouTuber guy, Bassa whatever productions.
Oh wait, Alex Barassa or whatever.
That's who it is. You didn't realize that's
him.
That's him.
Oh really?
So that's why the whole thing is weird.
Oh no, I know where you're gonna go with this now.
Yep. So again, I'm a bad. I don't like all the thoughts that I have. So Alex, his name's Alex. That's what it is. Alex Bassa, whatever.
I think it's Alex Barassa. So, I could be completely wrong. So he's
a pretty prominent Packers YouTuber. He's not Tom Grassi, but he's up there. And he went to the game with his fiance. He had a camera, and he caught the Phillies fan calling his wife, fiance, whatever, the C-bomb, yada, yada, not good. I mean, Eagles fan, just a fucking asshole. You can't be doing that shit, yada, yada. Well, it has since come out, and this doesn't really mean a ton, but Alex created a GoFundMe to go to the game, which is kind of a weird thing, I think. Like, he had previously had a GoFundMe for his dog who needed surgery. Which is like, yeah, that's what GoFundMe's for. It's to help you out on things that are important. But he had this GoFundMe just to raise tickets so he could go to the game. He lives in Pennsylvania. It's an hour away. So he had fans pay for him to go to the game. He went there, and he was all rigged up with like a harness with a 360-degree camera that would pick everything up. And this is just me because
That's weird.
I dabble in YouTube watching Packer shit and all this. And, I mean, the guy I don't know the guy. But, so, I've complained about this. You know, Packers family night. You couldn't watch on TV, couldn't watch on YouTube. Well, this guy, Alex, he was streaming it on YouTube. This was the year that his stream got taken down. The Packers brought the stream down. And I was watching it because I wanted to watch family night. In the 10 minutes I was watching, he was... people in the comments were like asking him to do things like if he can make the game larger so they could see it and just little requests. And he would like yell at guys and ban them from watching the channel, which I thought was weird. And then he also had like, so I don't know Dusty Everly on Packers Twitter all that well, but he's always been a very, very positive dude on Twitter. Like he seems like the nicest guy. If you've seen Dusty on Twitter.
Sure.
He breaks down film, seems like a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. And I saw this last year.
He's got good content.
And I don't know anything about these guys. Dusty tweeted, I swear I saw someone saying that Touré was the best route runner on the Packers last night, but that had to have been a fever dream. And he just like tweeted that out there, whatever. I think it was just a thought. Alex Bassara, which is his name on Twitter, tweeted him out of nowhere and said, you know, you can just reply to me. It's not hard and have a conversation about it. So he took offense that Dusty didn't know it was him that was talking about Touré. It's just very...
He probably thought he was subtweeting him, but he wasn't.
But it's
probably
a weird aggression thing. So I don't know this guy, but it's dumb because like I'll take flack for saying this. And I'm super, super popular. So my career is down the drain now. But I think when the interaction happened between him and the Eagles fan, his fiance and the Eagles fan, he wasn't that upset because he knew he had, like, I want to see the full footage. Again, that shit should never happen. But it does seem like an odd thing to do, especially, like, in the GoFundMe for that game. And apparently he's done this to go to different games. It's like, I think he wanted it because he said, like, he's been treated like shit before, too, and he knew going there something was going to happen. I don't know. It's still, and I hate it too, because you see like the fucking political grifters, like that fucking Charlie Kirk or whatever, like all these different guys have, yeah, like they were commenting on it, like saying that the Packer fan is in the wrong. And I'm like, I think they're just both in the wrong. We shouldn't have talked about it, but we already have. Thoughts?
There was a little bit of a lag there, but the thing is like, obviously it's weird that you're like recording everything. That guy's obviously like probably not a cool thing to say to someone.
No, I would say
you
not
know,
at all.
Like
not
maybe
ever.
You don't maybe say something else like, oh, your team sucks, or like, I don't know. It seems like a weird thing to lead with. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, I don't know. Like I'm ready to move on from that one. That was like, that's just a dumb exchange. Yeah. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I think it's weird that you record stuff also. I don't know.
That's the thing. It's like the camera was pointed at the fans and it wasn't pointed at the game. It's like, what were you doing there?
And also, you can't record at the game, can you? Isn't that like an NFL recording rights thing?
I could be wrong. I think you can record the game from your phone. You can't use the broadcast. The broadcast is what's copyrighted. Because a lot of like news stations, okay, when you see news stations locally covering the game, like here in the Twin Cities, they use their footage that they captured a lot of the time from the sidelines and not like the actual TV.
It
depends.
It's not a threat to the NFL at all, because if you're recording on your phone, you're getting horseshit coverage of the game. Like you're not, yeah, it's not a threat to the NFL.
Last thing we'll talk about before getting out of here. Mike McCarthy interviewing with the Chicago Bears. What would you think if Mike became the Chicago Bears head coach?
I mean, I'm not threatened by Mike McCarthy, but I do think that that would be the best coach the Bears have had since Lovie Smith.
I like the way you said it, because it sounded like it was a strong statement, but it's like, yeah, no fucking doy. Because, like, who is it? Just, the weird dude from
Tressman.
Tressman. And then it was Kansas
I forget
City's
who was
OC.
After Tressman, because it was 1 year, wasn't it?
No. John Fox. It was John Fox.
Oh, it's John Fox.
And then it was, the OC for Kansas City now. I don't know why I can't remember his name. And then, obviously, Eberflus. I really hope Mike doesn't, because
I think there's one more in there, too. It's a bad list.
I think that's it. I think it's just those four. But I hope Mike doesn't do it, just because I really like Mike McCarthy. Again, I've talked about, you know, meeting him when I was a kid or like 15, whatever it was. And he's not a bad coach. He's not a fantastic coach, but he's a pretty good coach. Like, he's kind of, you know, Mike Tomlin. Like, he's going to bring in a system. He's organized, and the Bears have lacked that, obviously, over the last 30 years. And it's just, it would be weird to have Mike McCarthy way in Green Bay when he's the coach of the Chicago Bears.
That would be weird.
You know, and it's McCarthy, too. I mean, if he becomes the head coach of the Packers, the Cowboys, and the Bears, that's like three of the most legendary franchises in the NFL. Like, that would be kind of cool. I don't know if anyone else can really top that.
It was Matt Nagy was the one you're thinking of.
That's what I'm thinking of, yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe Mike McCarthy will go back to the Saints. He was the quarterback coach or offensive coordinator there before Tooney's interviewing there. So, we'll see. You don't have to talk about the Vikings. Hilarious that they lost. But
ever since they pop champagne after beating the Packers, they did not win a game.
Yeah. That's people complain about the Packers' social media. I am glad. Again, the Packers would not have a video like that right after the game of Jordan Love celebrating in the locker room. Less is more sometimes, because it can always come back to bite you, and that's kind of what happened with the Minnesota Vikings. With that, that's the podcast. That's the podcast for the year. We didn't have any comments, no new reviews after last week, but what a great season once again. I mean, thank you for listening. This is year 6. We've had over 150 episodes at this point, which is just mind-boggling to me.
Millions of listeners
from all around the world. I mean, again, it's very cool to get the comments and seeing people listening in Australia and
all around the world. Is true.
Like, literally, yeah. It's like I said, Australia. We sent one to like Ireland before. The fucking fan in I always want to say Great Britain. I don't even know if that's a place. Is it still Great Britain?
UK. You're covered if you say UK.
Yeah. UK.
That's like four countries.
Yeah. God, I forgot his name. Jordan. I think his name's Jordan. But either way, very cool. Again, I say this every year, but if you told me when I was 12 years old that I'd have people listening to me talk about the Packers and my buddies from all around the world or whatever every week, very, very cool. So I'm very thankful for that. And with that, you know, Todd, I didn't tell you about this, but unfortunately, you know, this podcast, we've, you know, I told you if we won the Super Bowl, potentially it would happen. But this is actually the last podcast of the year. No, we'll keep doing the Super podcast. Yeah, I don't know when we'll be back. We'll probably take like a month off. We'll have Billy back here too. Hopefully, I'm hoping we can get Kyle back for an episode. I'm hoping we can get Hank back for something too. So stay tuned for that.
Hank was supposed to say something over the over December.
The bonanza. I forgot to reach out to him too to see if he could come on, but I think we can probably get him back on.
So we can, yeah. He had committed prior, so we can probably hang that over his head, get him to say something in the next couple months.
Yes. Todd, do you have anything you want to say to our fans all around the planet, the millions and millions of them?
Thank you for listening to all my bad takes. Or even if you don't listen to them all, I wouldn't listen to them all. They're bad takes, but thanks anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. We have takes. Some are good, some are bad.
Yeah. Jordan Love didn't throw more than two interceptions in the regular season after the bye week, which was my second half of the year bye week prediction. That was a good one.
Yeah, that was a good take.
I'm going to bring it up forever.
Actually, that was a good and a bad take because we wish he would have thrown more picks.
Yeah, now I'm like, shit, that sucked. I wish a different take came true.
With that, Todd, I don't have anything else. Do you have anything else?
No, I don't.
Very cool. AJ Dillon, take us out.
To anybody on Twitter or whatever, you can't do what we're doing. Just enjoy. Just watch. Anywhere I quit my job. Yeah, cause it just won't pay. I worked all year. I worked all month. Then they took my money away. Yeah, well, now I don't care. Cause they ain't working like me down here. Hey now, little baby, I'm going deeper down in debt. Yeah, honey, I ain't leaving here. I got a six-pack of beer and a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. And I think that was like the idea of the game, but you have to like make it PvP. Like the dinosaurs have to fight, right? So like, I'm just saying, like, they have, like, what do you
again,
do?
Again,
I
just love sentences like that in a vacuum.
So,
you
like,
have to make a PvP. The dinosaurs have to fight.
Yeah, you're, like, walking around with other dinosaurs. It's like, well, what are you going to do? Just be friends? Like, that's not real. Like, you got to, like, carnivores eat herbivores, right?